Welcome to The Common Share, a podcast about cooperative businesses. I'm Asa Marshall with Cooperatives First, an organization that promotes co-op business development in rural and Indigenous communities across Western Canada. We're recording in Saskatoon on Treaty 6 territory and the traditional homeland of the Métis. In this episode, I spoke to two co-op researchers about the work they've done looking at people's loyalty to cooperatives. Danica Dinko is the executive director for the Saskatchewan Cooperative Association, who wrote a thesis exploring the opinions of consumers in regards to shopping at co-ops versus investor-owned firms, otherwise known as IOFs. Stan Yu is the research and communications coordinator for the Canadian Centre for the Study of Cooperatives, who recently looked at whether the employees of cooperatives tend to be loyal co-op customers. They give great insights for co-ops from their findings, so please enjoy our conversation. Yeah, so thank you guys so much for coming and doing this. Stan, can you tell me a bit about yourself? Talk about what you do, and also how did you get interested in cooperatives?
Sure. So my name is Stan Yu, and I am the Research and Communications Coordinator at the Canadian Centre for the Study of Cooperatives, located at the University of Saskatchewan in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. So my role at the centre is a mixture of research, managing and coordinating research projects, managing and coordinating events, as well as our day-to-day communications, as well as any grant writing and supporting researchers doing research on cooperatives and credit unions across Canada.
Nice. And so why co-ops? Like, how did you get interested in cooperatives?
I actually got into co-ops unexpectedly. I started off as a volunteer for a local bicycle co-op in Saskatoon, and at the time I knew nothing about cooperatives. I joined as a volunteer because a friend asked me to. Before I knew it, I realized that organization changed my life, and the joys of volunteering really spread to every bone in my body. Through that, I got a chance to serve on the board of the bicycle co-op, started asking more questions, and realized that there was a larger cooperative world out there. And one question led to 100 questions, led to 10 years of volunteering, and has led me now to researching cooperatives, which has been just such a pleasant and serendipitous change in my life, and I couldn't be more happy.
Oh, that's great. So yeah, Danica, same question.
Well, thank you. My name is Danica Dinko, and I'm the new executive director at the Saskatchewan Cooperative Association. And I have to say, I'm a bit of a co-op nerd. In my professional career, I've only ever worked for cooperatives, so I had an ag background to start and worked for UFA, and then I moved back to Manitoba to work in the co-op ag retail sector. And then I slid over to the credit union system, and I stayed there till 2018 when I returned to school to get my business degree. I've always been interested in co-ops. I grew up in small town Manitoba, and there's usually three staples in those communities: the grocery store, the gas station, and the credit union. So it didn't take me very long to realize that cooperatives are the lifeline of that community, and not only do they provide goods and services, but they are also the social, economic, and community builder. And so for me, co-ops align to my values, and it's important for me to work for them. After working a few months outside of the co-op world, I very quickly realized I needed to get back into where I felt similar to Stan, that really great feeling and that purpose of work. So
yeah. So Stan, I guess we can start with you here. So can you talk about your research study that you recently presented about? Like, what were you looking into, and what were your findings?
Sure. So we launched a pilot survey in the winter of 2021 and early winter of 2022. And we were interested in looking at the shopping and consuming behaviors of cooperative employees, and to what extent did they support their own the products and services of their own cooperative, as well as the goods and services of other cooperatives. So our research questions was as follows. One, did co-op employees shop at their own co-op? And two, did the support for the goods and services of cooperatives from co-op employees create a ripple effect to benefit the co-op sector at large. So we had three medium to large size cooperatives in Saskatchewan participate. We collected data between December of 2021 and March of 2022. The three cooperatives included a retail cooperative, a telecommunications cooperative, and a insurance and financial services cooperative. We had 359 employees participate, and we're hoping that this pilot survey will be the first of a larger study to come.
That's awesome. And so, Danica, too, you've done research that I felt kind of overlapped a bit with Stan. Can you just talk about what your research was?
Yeah, for sure. So while Stan looked at sort of what I would say internal employees, I surveyed the general public. So my project was looking to see whether co-op members identify differently and have different attitudes towards their primary grocery store compared to individuals that shop at non-co-op grocery stores. So I was looking to see if membership predicts customer loyalty, perceptions of trustworthiness, and perceived value of grocery customers. I wanted to know if grocery shoppers identify differently than their IOF counterparts. And then I also wanted to know if there was a difference between rural and urban co-op shoppers, because I had a bit of a personal opinion going into my project. I used my survey through the social networks. So I had a bit of a different, probably maybe not as technical group of participants as Stan. But I did end up having like 58% resided in Manitoba, 80% were female. 77% of the respondents were a member of at least one co-op, and 60% had been members for more than 20 years, which was all very interesting.
Yeah, very. And so what did you find in terms of, are people more loyal to a cooperative than another store?
Yes, co-op shoppers identified higher levels of trustworthiness, perceived loyalty. They had more emotional value. They felt stronger as a sense of customer, and they felt a stronger sense of community than IOF or your traditional grocery store.
James. Interesting. Yeah. Stan, what did you find when you looked into these demographics?
Certainly some interesting findings. We found that when it came to the employee's own organization, that 65% indicated that they shopped at their own co-op most or all of the time. So pretty high level of support. However, when it came to shopping at other co-ops, we found that the majority of employees said that they shopped at other co-ops some or less than some of the time. With the majority of these individuals saying that experienced a ambivalent attitude towards supporting other co-ops. So whereas they found supporting their own co-ops to be important or very important, typically we saw that with other co-ops, employees thought that it was neither important nor unimportant to also support other co-ops and the services of other co-ops. So interesting split there, as well as when we looked at just the general goods and services of what co-op employees supported from co-ops or not, we found that the most common good that were consumed by co-op employees and that they supported the most widely was purchasing diesel and gas, followed by groceries, and then all of the other categories such as hardware or banking with a credit union or telecommunications or insurance and financial services less than some of the time that they would support and purchase those from a co-op.
Mm-hmm. And one of the interesting findings in yours too, Stan, I found was that the longer someone worked at a co-op, the more important it became to them that the place they worked was a cooperative.
Like, yes.
I thought that was that something you were expecting to find?
You know, to be honest, initially my hypothesis was that the co-op employees would be champions of the cooperative sector. We have seen in the literature as well as studies like Danica's study, where we look outwardly at members or members of the general public in terms of their shopping behaviors. One gap has always been internally, what about the employees? So I really went into the study thinking that co-op employees would be the champions of the sector. I was so confident with this hypothesis that we even limited to just an urban center in Saskatchewan because we had assumed in rural areas there would be a lack of choice, and thus going back to the story we tell in Saskatchewan that there's always a credit union and a co-op and a co-op gas station, and that is the primary service providers in rural Saskatchewan. In urban areas, there's obviously more choice for any goods and services. As I was saying, I was very confident about this hypothesis. It turned out to be not supported. So now we are really delving into what factors influence whether one supports one's own co-op as well as other co-ops. Certainly, the amount of time an employee has spent in their organization is one of the first findings, which is, I think, in some ways makes a lot of sense. There is a lot more opportunity to be integrated into the culture of cooperatives. I know a lot of the larger cooperatives also have professional development opportunities, as well as a communications team that emphasizes the importance of the social values of their organization and what they're doing to support the community, which is all great. And now we're also going to see what other factors influence whether one supports their own co-op as well as others.
Mm-hmm. So Danica, a similar question, I guess. What were you expecting to find when you started your research? And then was there any surprises in your data?
I wasn't sure what to expect because, I mean, I had my own experiences and ideas and past in working. But I mean, I was in Calgary at the time. So I was like, oh, this is a very interesting... these people in Calgary maybe don't have the same connection to the co-op that I do. You know, what they must feel differently about it. Why do they shop at that, you know, at the local co-op in town? And so I really did think that rural respondents would just have stronger ties to the co-op because of the importance it plays in their community. And in the end, when we did the statistical testing on it, urban and rural members felt the exact same way. There was no measurable difference, which completely flipped everything I sort of believed on the urban co-op, because I was like, well, then why are you a member? Why is this important to you? If there's like 1,000 different places you can go get groceries, you know, this still means something to you. And the other thing was the perceived sense of community and customer. The community part I can understand. As a co-op, we are a community, but the idea that you're more of a customer as a co-op member and shopper than you are, say, shopping at the, we won't name them, but the, you know, the rest of the IOFs, that was really interesting, because I was like, well, what is doing that? And again, if you look in major urban centers, it's not, you see people having conversations and stuff, but it's not like the small town where you walk in and four people are having a chat by the vegetables because they haven't seen each other in a week, right? It's not sort of the same experience, yet people are telling us that's how they feel. So that was really, really surprising to me.
Yeah, that's really interesting, and kind of ties to what you were saying, Stan, about, you know, having some expectations about, yeah, maybe there would be a different result, urban, rural, than you're expecting.
Absolutely. And in Danica's study, it really brings up an interesting conundrum for me, because then I'm trying to figure out where the disconnect is for employees in terms of why can't they cultivate the same type of social and emotional bond and social emotional purpose with their own co-op as with other cooperatives, mm-hmm. and or, you know, the goods and services of other cooperatives, and seeing that there's a bigger picture in mind. In the summer at the Cooperatives and Mutuals Canada's National Congress, I kept hearing the word cooperative movement, and it was very inspiring to hear that, you know, folks at the grandest level in Canada, in the cooperative sector, still calling this a cooperative movement. And of course, then going back to the study, really the next question to ask is, where's the disconnect, and how do we overcome that disconnect so that support for one's own organization is then translated to supporting the entire sector at large and supporting the entire movement at large, and knowing that as an employee, if you, through your shopping behaviors, you can continue to strengthen the sector.
Mm-hmm. And so I know both of your studies were quite
quantitative. You know, they're both based on surveys. So you might not know kind of the deeper why to some of the questions. But at the same time, maybe Danny, you could start. What sort of insights can you draw about co-op loyalty based on, you know, what you were able to find?
Well, without sounding very pie in the sky, there is something about membership that drives these attitudes, right? And it's all we do, you know, you sign up, you get your number, but something about that scenario creates this connection to the organization, which, you know, any other external business is like, we have this natural thing that's occurring. We don't quite understand it yet. It clearly needs a little more probing, but these feelings are happening both in, again, urban and rural. So it's not even a matter of like, if the co-op's not there, I don't get groceries. It's like, I have this feeling towards this organization or this industry or this model, and we need to leverage that as an industry when we can figure out what exactly it is that does it for people, right? And then I sort of hone back into that sense of community. You know, I think a lot of us are now looking for sort of social purpose and being involved. Post-COVID, we want to be more connected, less disconnected, right? And so the co-op model gives you that opportunity, right? It gets, you can be involved, you can be a worker, shop, or support something that, you know, aligns with your values. And so, yeah, that needs to be leveraged when we can understand it better. I would love to recreate this survey with Stan in a very, very broad splattering of general public to see if it really translates in that same way in multiple urban centers. Do Saskatchewan residents feel the same way as Manitoba and Alberta? You know, we've all kind of had the same experience with co-ops in Western Canada, but we also have different experiences based on province. So, yeah, I don't know if I answered that well.
Yeah, no, very good. And I guess, yes, Stan, same question to you.
For me, two takeaways. One, echoing what Danica mentioned, what we saw in terms of employees supporting their own organization, there's certainly something there. I think that in some ways, this is probably a kudos to co-ops and credit unions within Saskatchewan and beyond, providing a lot of messaging as well as communication to their own employees about the importance of their organization as being different than their IOF counterparts. Mm-hmm. I think that has been effective. And then, of course, the challenge will be how do we advance that? So the messaging also includes perhaps supporting other co-ops and why that's also important in addition to being loyal to the goods and services of your own organization. The second takeaway is it would be what we didn't measure is looking at, like you mentioned, the why of it all. We see that with certain goods and services, they were more commonly consumed by co-op employees than others. For instance, gas and diesel was the most popular regardless of the cooperative we surveyed, and just under 50% of employees said that they purchased their gas or diesel at a co-op most or all of the time. Why that particular good in comparison to the others is the most popular, you know, we have some insights into plausible explanations as to why. For instance, gas is one of those goods where you shop, the co-op gas price is the same as their IOF counterparts. So if the importance of price is now standardized and no longer a factor, do the other factors of social and emotional value play a bigger part in someone's decision to shop or not shop at a co-op? If that is the case, that could be one thought. And then subsequently, the question is, with regards to the other goods and services, how much does the social, emotional, purpose-driven decisions compare with that of the pragmatic decision-making of convenience, cost, location, et cetera, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. And you had some interesting findings about price as well in yours, Danica, didn't you? What did you find?
Yeah, well, members, that was the one thing that they reported lower than IOF shoppers was the idea of financial value. They did not associate shopping at the co-op grocery with financial value, which you know, having been in the world, you at times do hear, oh, the co-op is a little more expensive. And I mean, there are our supply chain and our value chain's a little bit different than the way the IOF works. I would always argue you get that financial value at the end of the year, but we live in an instant sort of society now, right? And so people are looking for that sort of instant savings. And as Stan just sort of said, like, gas is a very standardized thing. Groceries, you can find a very different split from the sort of superstores of the world to the Safeways and in between, right? So the shoppers didn't feel financial value, but they felt everything else. And that seemed to override that missing financial value piece, which is, again, interesting that people would, like, they're willing to support regardless of price fluctuation, which is something that the industry can leverage for themselves.
Yeah.
And to that point there, Danica, I also wonder, to what extent has all the ubiquity of loyalty programs launched by IOFs have really diluted the value proposition from a price standpoint, from a financial standpoint of cooperatives? I typically say, you know, sometimes in jest, sometimes not, that cooperatives are the original loyalty program, but it certainly makes it now a much more challenging argument when some of these loyalty programs are so straightforward, so clear cut that you get $20 back when you shop here for $100, that it's very hard to compete with when the patronage of cooperatives, you have to exhibit a little bit more patience, as well as the structure of it is a bit more convoluted. With regards to financial value, I also wonder if, you know, the ubiquity of loyalty programs have also now played a factor.
Well, and I would sort of build on that and say, the general public probably forgets about financial value as an investment in the community and all the other things that the co-op does. Because if I had Costco members that responded, that is a membership based. Those people do, the only thing they feel is financial value. And I would argue we would far rather have the other five feelings on our side and you can keep the financial value. It then becomes a matter of how are we storytelling and communicating that piece of financial value. And maybe it's not a straight out check or an instant savings, but over the year, you know, there is other things that we are doing in the community that adds financial value. It increases that, or it sort of leverages that social contract that we have with the community as co-ops, is that we do support them and we employ people and we pay our taxes and we make sure the rink has their Zamboni and all those things, right? And so, yeah, I would far rather be on our side right now and not necessarily worry about that financial value. I think like narrative and storytelling can sort of overcome that part.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a common question we get, and you guys probably see this too, is like, well, what's the difference between a membership and a co-op? And my Costco, like, I have a Costco membership. Is that the same thing? And I think if people understand that having a membership at a co-op means you own it, you're a part owner, I wonder if that changes the way they feel about the business.
Well, yeah, it's like, You can be a decision maker. You have a piece of the pie, and if that's important to you, then it's easy to leverage membership, mm-hmm. for sure.
I can't agree enough. I think all one has to do is go to any local public infrastructure, whether that be a park or a rink, a stadium. You'll typically see a credit union and or a co-op sign there as being one of the sponsors.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that's probably true of both rural and urban. People seem to understand that the co-ops are investing back in their community. Yeah,
well, that is our difference, right? I mean, aside from other things, but that is, you know, we intentionally do that. We don't sort of, you know, community donation washing, right? Like, our impact is instant and very tangible and visible to our members, whereas some of these other investments are, you know, it was over there or it's something broad that doesn't really affect us. So yeah, we really need to leverage that.
And as members and staff, you typically have a say in it, where that money goes. I see a lot of member or employee grants through the co-ops themselves, and it's comprised of employees or members that adjudicate these grants. So in addition, you also have a say in addition to benefiting from that local investment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, we've maybe touched on it a bit already, guys, but what do you think? Maybe Stan, you can start. what do you think co-ops can take away from the findings in your study?
We're really hoping that this study starts a conversation about, could the co-op sector come up with a program where we could have cross-membership, or if one employee shops at one co-op, perhaps they get a discount or some sort of additional benefit by being a co-op member, by being a cooperator at another cooperative as well. We know that these conversations have initiated in the past. If these findings can help to continue that conversation, I think that that would be great. And we're also, as this is a pilot survey, we're really hoping to see what would happen if we expanded. Would we see similar findings in different provinces, in different geographies? So those hopefully will be the next steps of the project.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And,
Yeah, a couple things. First off, for the 20% of my respondents that were not co-op members, over half of them just didn't know anything. So there's one takeaway, which... That, I mean, that discussion's always occurring in the industry. How do we teach the general public about this? The lack of perceived value, I think we have to stop trying to combat that idea of cheapest and just stop worrying about the argument and hone into the places that we naturally do well. People trust us. They have a sense of loyalty. They feel emotional connection, which many organizations take years to try and develop that. Something is happening like naturally for us. And the sense of customer and community feelings. Like, again, IOF shoppers don't feel that. So we should hone in on these attitudes that our members have and really start to drive home some messaging, some storytelling, some things to help trigger that, because they're naturally occurring. We have to do nothing for them. And arguably, you're never going to win the financial argument, right? Like, you can always find something cheaper somewhere. So stop making that argument totally and do a better job of sort of triggering those other attitudes in our members.
So yeah, like leaning into what the members want is more important than try to be the cheapest.
Yeah, option. And those things are happening, right? So we don't have to try and figure out how to tell them that, you know, they should be loyal to us or trustworthy. They already feel that, right? Mm-hmm. So it becomes more of the storytelling, messaging, like, you know, our ads, whatever the case may be, that, you know, we can build that sort of social connection with them and leverage that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take this for.
So yeah, Stan, what options do you think co-ops have for increasing loyalty among the demographics you studied?
A common theme that we've mentioned today that really resonates is continuing to tell the story, continuing to build awareness. We've seen that there has been a lot of success by cooperatives in providing that messaging, telling that story to their staff for their own organization. And now it would be interesting and perhaps worthwhile to integrate stories of the broader movement, the broader sector, and perhaps creating awareness of other co-ops and credit unions in the area which employees may not have been made aware of before. And if that is part of the story, we could perhaps see an increase in support for goods and services of the sector by employees themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Danica, what do you think?
Yeah, same sort of idea, like the, sort of that messaging and storytelling. And I think, I mean, we all know the model is, it's really easy when you know it, but it's a little bit confusing for those coming in. And so then it's like, how do we explain to people that Saskatoon Co-op, Affinity Credit Union, Access Communications, we're all the same thing, right? Because I think people kind of get lost in like, oh, what is this and what is that? And, you know, and so if we were able, because I think people, again, forget or don't know. And so then you can start to build that idea. Oh, of course I want to shop at Saskatoon Co-op, and then I'm going to go to Affinity and I'm going to get my insurance at the cooperators, because those are all the same thing. They're doing the same things in the community. We've communicated that to the general, right? So it's a lot of general public work that mm-hmm. we need to do to sort of increase that understanding and loyalty. And then I think even sort of a little more provincial information of the impact, right? So people can see those tangible numbers and be like, oh, wow, X amount of dollars was invested in the province of Saskatchewan, right? And it makes it sort of takes it to that next step where you know, you can drive home some some realization and facts for people, right? They like clear, define things, and so that sometimes helps.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you guys probably find the exact same thing that we do, that for some reason the co-op business structure has kind of been set apart in people's minds from other really typical ways of doing business, corporations, partnerships, sole proprietorships, that kind of thing. And so, like you're just saying, Danica, getting people to understand that everything that's got the word co-op on it is the same kind of business structure. And all it means is that if you join, you're an owner who gets to, you know, have some say in the direction of the business. Getting that message across in really simple, clear ways, hopefully people will start to understand that better, and then, you know, maybe start to understand why they should support more than just their own cooperative. Or
definitely youth education is what I would call an easy avenue in, right? And you know, if Camp Kindling, we, you know, that's something that we, you know, we try to instill in the kids. But there's opportunity in sort of high school age. And then again, I would argue in business school, depending on where you are at business school, there is lots of profs that do not think this is a viable model, or they think it's nonprofit because they don't know. And so there's a lot of opportunity even at that age group then for the employee side, attracting those, but also as members of the co-ops, because once they understand, they're off and running, but there's that disconnect of like, profs don't know a lot, teachers don't know a lot, they get confused, so then they just say nothing, or they, you know, so definitely opportunity there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, Stan, where you work, is that's exactly what you guys focus on, is understanding and trying to educate people about co-ops. You've got, if you want to talk about some of the things that the center kind of does.
Sure. At the center, we provide, for instance, board governance training to individuals in on boards of co-ops to really emphasize what sets serving on the board of a cooperative apart from serving on boards of other organizations. We have an annual report, annual survey, and subsequently that becomes a report that comes out asking co-op leaders what the top issues facing the sector are each year. And we're hoping with each year the themes really are disseminated to any and all who are interested to really see, you know, what as a sector, what are we facing, and perhaps, you know, based on the folks that have the most experience, how do we try to overcome them? Those are at least a couple of examples of what the Canadian Centre for the Study of Cooperatives provides, in addition to constant, you know, research, communications and publications that hopefully ask interesting questions about co-ops.
Thank you for joining us. For more on us and what we do, visit cooperativesfirst.com. If you need resources for starting your own co-op, check out coopcreator.com. It's a great resource site that has everything you need to get a co-op up and running. To give us your thoughts on anything we discussed in this episode, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, or on Twitter as coops_first.